If I actually tried to do a thorough teaching on Job, it would literally take hour, like probably 200 hours or more. Because if you really look at it and you get revelation, every single thing that one of Job's friends said has a truth that you can find in New Testament. You'd have to go find the New Testament truth. So it's not about anything that they've said. The words out of Job is quoted by many other people in the Bible. And so the key is, it's not that what they're saying is wrong. So why was God so upset with them? And we're going to find that out on that Friday night, because that Friday night I'm going to do a quick overview of everything up until the part where I'll be talking about the one who is not Job's friend, but who speaks up. There's a young person who speaks up, who wasn't going to say anything because he didn't want to interrupt his elders. And then when he speaks, he actually sets up the atmosphere for the Holy Spirit to come and rebuke Job. God himself rebukes Job. So I would think God's rebuke is more powerful than what Job was saying that people grab onto and say that's why you suffer. So I'm going to do that Friday night. It's going to be really powerful. And then look at what had to happen in Job's life before God could bring restoration and multiplication to his life. And so that's going to be the main focus on that Friday night, and prayer for people to get out of the Leviathan cycle, to get free from blaming God, to get free from bitterness and all that kind of thing, okay? And then we're going to put all this together in a big series here somewhere along the line. But I really saw this study and thinking, wow, this could really be a powerful book, but I'm not the one who wants to write it, so we'll see what happens. Somebody want to write this? Listen to the teaching. Go write you this really powerful book on Job. It'd be awesome. All right. I really like to preach. I really don't like to write that much. Of course, there's a lot of things I don't like to do that I do. So we're going to look at Job's friends, okay? So when we look at Job's friends, we're going to see, we talked about this on Sunday in Job 2, and we recognized in Job 2 that these were sincere friends, okay? We talked about that. I'm not going to repeat it all. So we've got sincere friends that were really upset when they saw Job. They couldn't even speak for 7 days. They sat there with him 7 days and night, and they wouldn't say a word. And everybody was just amazed and in shock. But, you know, sitting there 7 days and night trying to figure out what God is up to in somebody else's life can cause us to start crossing over into sin. Amen? And that's kind of what happened with his friends. So we gave Job's friends nicknames. Huh? Very good nicknames. So we talked about Eli. There's Eli, and there's Bill, and there's, what's the other guy's name? Zoe. Okay. So there's Eli, Bill, and Zoe. Okay. And those are the three friends of Job's. And like we said, they're sincere friends when they first come out. Now let's go to Job 3:1. Now remember, they've sat there for 7 days, and he's just watched his friends stare at him. Nobody knew what to say. Everybody was just in shock. Everybody was just trying to get answers, okay? So Job finally says, Job 3, after sitting there, Job opened his mouth, and he cursed the day of his birth. And we talked about this a little bit. This will really be covered next Tuesday night, okay? But I want you to see really quick. Now, here we go from Job still glorifying God after his children died and all his stuff was pretty much taken. But then he gets hit in his body. And I want to say this, some of these other trials we would say probably more difficult to lose all your children, right, than sickness. But the difference is, when you have a sickness that brings lots of pain, it's really hard to break through that pain and connect with God. Right? It's really hard to break through pain and connect with God. I know when I'm fighting a migraine, it's like so hard to pray. It's so hard to really, I mean, we need to all pray for Laurie. She has, you know, been breaking through the pain of MS for years and fighting it, not allowing the enemy to bring her into the place where he wins. And she's gotten stronger and stronger. But I've been amazed at her breaking through the pain to fight the spirit of infirmity. Amen? And so, we got to kind of realize with Job, he's in lots and lots of pain. So in that pain, he begins to wish he was never born. And so Terry's going to talk about that more, so you can get that teach if you're not here next week. But in 3:8, it says, "Let those curse it who curse the day, who are skilled in a rising Leviathan." So when people operate in witchcraft and people operate in releasing demonic spirits or curses, curses can land on people who curse the day they were born. So if you get suicidal, it's been a purposeful attack of the enemy to make you suicidal. It almost always comes from the exact same reason you see in Job, blaming God for what the devil's doing. Blaming God for what the devil's doing and not thinking that God is doing what he should be doing. Judging God and blaming God for what the enemy's doing puts bitterness inside of us. And it defiles many, it defiles your thinking. And in that place, because you put a curse on yourself, now witchcraft can come and bring a curse on you. We had a situation happen recently where somebody unintentionally cursed themselves about death just to try to get somebody off of their case. And so even last week, we were all really feeling this. We knew that somebody was really fighting a really strong depression and a feeling of giving up. And somebody recognized, you know, they cursed themselves. They didn't mean to, but they did. So we broke that. And we stood in the gap and we took authority and we broke it. And that person later told us, I could tell something lifted off of me. Okay, so when people fight depression and the spirit of heaviness, you may need to go back and if you're ministering to somebody, you need to go back and see where did you blame God for what the devil's doing? Where did you do that? And where did you at one point say God doesn't know what he's doing? He's not doing it right. And if it ever gets you to this point where Job got, where you wish you were never born, whatever happened made you wish you were never born, you open the door for curses to land on you. You open the door for the spirit of Leviathan, which is a very huge spirit that Terry's going to be talking about next Tuesday, to come in and just try to rip your life apart, okay? And so you've got to go back and repent of bitterness, blaming God for what the enemy's doing, okay, which is what Job has done throughout the book of Job. Okay, I want you guys to see something that Job did not understand. When you study the book of Job, you never ever see Job recognizing that there's a devil, do you? Okay, God wrote Job with a totally different intention than what most people preach Job. Job is for us to look and see in the spirit realm very clearly what we don't usually get to see. Who was it who fought in the spirit? Only new covenant believers. Only new covenant believers have the Holy Spirit living in them where they have spiritual authority. Amen? We're the only ones who can fight the enemy. Job could not fight the enemy. Job didn't even know there was such an enemy. Okay? So when you look at Job, you're looking at God giving a picture of how spiritual warfare works. He's the whole thing of Job, when you get into this really deep, you'll see everything in Job is like every other book in the Old Testament, just probably every book. And every book in the Old Testament reveals why we needed Jesus to come and be our Savior. Every book in the Old Testament is about why we need an advocate with the Father, the judge, why we need a deliverer, why we need a healer, why we need our sins forgiven, why we need a sanctifier. Amen? Every single thing about the Old Testament points to we need a new covenant and we need a Savior. Amen? So if you read Job, as if we don't live in a new covenant and live with the Savior and live with the Redeemer, then you bring yourself back under the law. And there's no hope under the law. There's no healing under the law. Amen? What does the Bible say? If you go under the law, what you're reading brings death. Does everybody get that? So when anybody brings Job to you, you need to bring them to what Jesus says. Wait, we're not in that covenant. Job needed a Savior. He even says that in Scripture. He even uses the word that he needs an advocate. He even talks about how can he go before the judge? God the Father is the judge. How can he even go there? There's no chance of him winning. And you know what? With sin, he's right. But who did away with the sin issue? Jesus. Who became the advocate? Jesus. So he shows so clearly in the book of Job, and I really recommend you go online and find the teaching on the courts of heaven, or find the book on the courts of heaven. But he gets most of his revelation from the book of Job, but recognizing Jesus as the advocate, Jesus as the one that stands between us and the judge. We've talked about this so much. So Job didn't know this. Okay, it's like everything else in Old Testament. Everything else in Old Testament is the reality of how we need Jesus. Amen? So if you read Job separate than that, you're not going to understand what God is even putting Job in the Bible for. And how many have heard Job taught the total opposite of that? And how many know there's tons of sickness in the body of Christ and tons of suffering? And how many know everybody's bitter and blaming God? And how many know they look like they're faithful and God's not? We'll never understand him. My goodness, how could it get any clearer? We have the mind of Christ because Holy Spirit lives in us. God will teach us his ways. Amen. He'll teach us his ways. He says, come and reason with me. He's the righteous judge. I mean, everything in the new covenant undoes the wrong teaching out of the book of Job. But it's the first thing they put in your face if you go through suffering. And people just seem to build their foundation on the idea of suffering and healing and tragedy, and they build it on the book of Job instead of on the Gospels of Jesus Christ. Any foundation that's not built on Jesus is a false foundation. Everything that I believe about the book of Job as a born-again believer has to be line up with what Jesus says first. So how does this line up with what Jesus says? How does this line up with what Jesus did? How does this line up with who Jesus says he is? How does this line up? And the way it lines up is where you see Jesus in Job. You see, oh, he needs a savior. Oh, he needs a healer. Oh, he needs a deliverer. Oh, he needs a protector. Oh, he needs to have favor with the Father, the judge. This is what he needs. Amen? Job shows us what we need, and it's Jesus. We have Jesus. Amen? We don't have a divine protection in New Testament. Why? Because we're hidden in Christ. Right? You can go if you want and put a hedge around you and hope the devil doesn't ever start pointing at things he wants to bring it down. I'd rather live a holy, sanctified life led of the Spirit of God and stay in the will of God and stay righteous in the eyes of God and be hidden in Christ. Amen? That's new covenant. That's new covenant. Thank God. Yay, I got Jesus. All right. So we're seeing here in Job 3, and she's going to talk more about that and get into detail for those. All right, then we go to Job 4, and we see his friend Eli, the termite. No, okay, anyway. So first we see Job. Said, if we dare to converse with you, will you be offended? But I cannot stop myself from speaking. Okay, so first of all, we're looking at how not to be Job's friends. How not to be a friend like Job had. And we talked about this Sunday. Most of us have been a friend like Job has, and most of us have had friends like Job had approach us. When Lauren died, Job's friends were right there. Now, the cool thing was I knew enough about truth that I didn't allow the wrong spirit on them to cause me to feel judged and condemned, which you're going to see if you study Job. That's how his friends made him feel, okay? I had one pastor, didn't know me at all, and this pastor had heard my testimony and walks up to me and says, if you had just had faith, your daughter wouldn't have died, and walks off. Well, I wish I had more faith. It would have been nice to had the faith to pick up my daughter's brain and put it back in her broken skull and pray for God to give me a creative miracle. I didn't have that kind of faith. God has that kind of power. I didn't have that kind of faith. You can't put condemnation on me because I live in the truth of who I belong to. Amen? And I have no trouble saying, God, give me more faith. I have no trouble recognizing I didn't have that kind of faith. And I have to pray, maybe I need to do this now, I need to pray like God required Job to pray to forgive him. Because he just judged me, and what he judges can come back on him. Whoa. Amen? And so that's why Job had to pray for his friends. We'll get to that one on that Friday. Okay, so you're starting to get the picture of this? You can feel it in the atmosphere. You feel God going, get it, get it. Here's Job up there going, oh no, they're using what happened to me again, Jesus, to not understand who you are and what you've done and how awesome you are. They're discounting everything you taught about healing, everything you taught about sorrow and troubles. They're discounting all of it because of the book about me. Amen? You can't even begin to understand any of the Old Testament unless you understand Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and have an encounter with Jesus. Unless you get really filled with the Spirit and moved by the revelation of the Holy Spirit, and everything in Old Testament reveals how much you need Jesus. Everything. If you see it through anything else, you're missing it. Amen? It's really not that difficult, but it's kind of cool when God's just sitting there making me, I read every single word and looked at every single thing, and I'm like, God, if I showed every place where these are truths, but they're spoken in the wrong spirit, it's going to take me a long time to do that. And Lord, because you don't have to prove it. I already use these same scriptures in the Word, and they're not called false when God uses them in the Word. So a problem with Job's friend we talked about is judging, self-righteousness, trying to protect self. Okay, I've had it. Pretended faith is big in this, okay? Pretended faith, pretended love, you think they're the real deal, but they're in your head, and you think you're protected by what's in your head and what you've read in the Word, what somebody else's book you read. But it's not the reality of walking with God and hearing God and obeying God and knowing God and being protected by God. Amen? I mean, the Lord's just like, this is such a crucial moment in church history for the people to come out of darkness and to come out of self-righteousness and to come out as the Pharisee spirit so the wolf isn't going to destroy you and enter into a real relationship with God, a real relationship where you know that you know. We might miss his son. We might go, who? He's in charge of that. Amen? He fixes that. He heals that. How many know he will open the places that we're blind, even if it might take a lot? Amen? When you're blind, you don't get it. Where you're deceived, you don't know it, okay? So, well, I'm not blind, I'm not deceived. You can't know if you're blind. You can't know if you're deceived. That's the whole idea of blind and deceived, amen? All you can do is trust God. You can say, well, God, if I'm blind, thank you that you're going to help me see. And if I'm deceived, God, I just come before you and ask you to help me get free, amen? And how many know if you pray that and you're sincere, he'll do it? How many know it takes a lot? How many know when he uses you possibly to help open somebody's eyes or get them out of deception, you might be a target of everything that the enemy has placed there to keep them blind and deceived. Amen? But that's what happened with Jesus. That's why the Pharisees attacked him, right? It's just part of it. It's just part of ministering. It's part of serving God. It's part of being the parent. It's part of being in relationship where God is calling you to be part of somebody getting free. Amen? It's just how it goes. Just, I won't say enjoy it, just flow with it. You'll learn how to bless those who despitefully use you and not curse people and to forgive. You'll learn all the stuff you're supposed to learn, amen? All right, so here we see Job's friend. First he says, okay, I dare to talk with you. I don't want to offend you, but I can't restrain myself from speaking. Okay, you actually can. The spirit of the prophet is controlled by the prophet, amen? Now it'd be different if it was God's him saying, the Lord's really put me on this heart to tell you this. Do you want to hear? So when you go to minister to somebody, if you don't want to be a Job's friend, you have to find out where they're at.